All right, so I want everybody to go ahead and be turning your Bibles over to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to be all over the Bible today, Old Testament, New Testament. So if you have something to write with, please go ahead and get that out. And as we jump into God's Word. Now, the last couple of weeks, last couple of weeks, as you guys know, we've been talking about fear. We've been talking about the different phases of fear and what it does to us as men, what it does to us as Christians, how to overcome that. And tonight, we're going to look at fear. We're going to look at it in a different way, though. All right, and I'm kind of glad that it's just us men here tonight. Some of the stuff that we're going to talk about is actually coming from my personal experience. And just things that I've been going through in my life that God has been showing me through relationships, through himself, as well as, you know, through my day-to-day walk with him. And so over in 1 John chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 18. It says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And this passage has been on my heart for the last month and a half. I've been studying this out. I've been looking at what does God mean by that fear? What is God talking about when he says, you know, fear has to do with punishment? And so, you know, tonight we're going to talk about how our faith can sometimes get crippled because of our fear. We're going to look at three areas where our faith get crippled because of fear. When fear sets in, it cripples our faith in our love for God. It cripples us in our love for others. And it cripples us in our love for ourselves. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, about how that affects each and every one. You know, my first point is how fear affects our love for God. You know, when fear set in, especially with men, a lot of times we don't like to admit that we're scared. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm petrified of dogs. It's not a whole lot I'm scared of, but dogs, I don't care if it's a tiny dog. I don't care if it's a Rottweiler. It doesn't matter. If it has teeth and a tail and bark, I'm scared of it. And so for me, I can recognize I'm scared of that dog, so I'm going to stay away from it. But there's certain areas in my life that I don't recognize that I'm scared of it until it's presented in my face. And so with dogs, I know, hey, if it's over there, I know I'm not going over there. But then there's other things that I have blind spots to. And so as men, you know, fear can cripple our love for God. And let's talk about that for a second. You know, sometimes as men, we fear that God doesn't hear us or that God is mad at us. You know, turn over to Matthew chapter 28 real quick. And we're going to move around a little bit, but it'll make sense for you. In Matthew 28, let's start in verse 20. Well, we can start in verse 18. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Sometimes we forget that Jesus said that to us. Sometimes we forget that God said he would never leave us nor forsake us, that he would be with us to the very end of the age. But fear makes us forget that. Fear makes us forget, you know, that God does hear us as Christians. God hears us when we pray. And sometimes you can be going through the darkest time of your life and you feel like people you talk to don't understand. You can feel like the God that you're praying to doesn't hear. And it could put you on an island by yourself. And what it does is it cripples your relationship with God. That same fear that we have in us to make us think God's not listening to you, God doesn't hear you, that fear will cripple our relationship with God. But God wants to give us all of his love, not just some of it. God doesn't want us to be scared of anything in our relationship with him. You know, the Bible talks about that we should be approaching God's throne of grace with confidence, not with fear. But when you're in the midst of things, sometimes it's hard to approach it with confidence. You know, the only way you can approach it is with fear. Turn with me. Turn with me over to, let's look in Ephesians 3. In Ephesians 3, verse 14. And I know we're moving around in the Bible a little bit. We're going to slow down in a second. But in Ephesians 3, in verse 14, I'll give you guys a chance to get there. In Ephesians 3, verse 14, it says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit of your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." And that same fear that makes us think, you know, that God doesn't hear us or we're disconnected, God reminds us throughout his scriptures in so many different places that, wait a minute, hold on, let me show you how deep, how wide, how great is the love I have for you. And sometimes we don't feel like that, you know, regardless of what it is that we're going through. Sometimes we don't feel like, man, does God really feel that way about me? Does God really want to give me all of his love? You know, I may have messed up in the past. Surely I'm not getting the same amount of love from God that Kyle is getting, because Kyle is doing great. Or surely I'm not getting the same amount of love as you fill in the blank. And we start comparing that. And this is what fear will make us do. Fear will make us look at everything other than that love that God has already established for us. Before the beginning of time, before you were born, God already had a love sitting there waiting for you. Many of us have gone through the dynamic marriages. And there's a portion in that dynamic marriages that talks about, you know, your love bank. You know, making those deposits into the love bank. And this is what God is saying here. God was making deposits into your love bank before you were born, before you were created. God had already had all this love waiting for you. And he wants us to know that it's there. Also, because of fear, we can tend to think, you know, about our relationships with others. Anybody in here ever been hurt by somebody before in the church? Anybody in here ever hurt somebody in the church? You know, let's talk about that for a second, because what fear does, fear cripples our love for others. It chokes it out. And let's see how it does that. You know, a lot of times we, especially as men, we fear what others think of us more than we fear what God thinks about us. And why do we do that? Because of our past failures, our past hurts. You know, maybe we've made some bad decisions in the past. You know, maybe our kids didn't act the way they should have acted when we had them out. Maybe our marriages wasn't as strong as they should have been. And so what happened is we start fearing, okay, what are people thinking about me? What are people thinking about my kids? And what happens is it cripples our relationship with others. And God is saying, no. That's not the way I set it up. That's not the way I planned it. Turn over to Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to look at Ecclesiastes 3 verses 15. Get there. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 15, this is what the Bible says. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. The Bible says that it's God who's going to call our past to account, not man. But we get so caught up in, you know what? Oh, man, I blew it a year ago. What will leadership think about me? Me and my wife, we just could never get it on straight. What will people think about our marriage? My kids, sometime they act up. Sometime they may even get expelled from school. What will people think about me as a parent? And what happened is, because of that fear that we have about other people, it keeps us from connecting with them the way God intended us to connect. Because we're focusing on man's judgment opposed to God's judgment. Amen. And God is saying, no, guys. Hold on. Listen, we can get past this fear. All right? We can. Turn over to Isaiah 43, verse 18. Couple of books after that. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 18. Because when it comes to relationships, when it comes to our relationship with others, God takes that very serious. He doesn't want us to have surfacey relationships. He doesn't want us to have, you know, the, hey, how are you doing? I'm fine. Okay, I'll see you Sunday. Relationships. He wants us to be in each other's lives.
Yep. Amen.
He wants us to be there to help each other. He wants us to be there to sharpen each other. But more importantly, he wants us to be there to encourage each other. Amen. And what happens is when that fear set in and we start worrying about what people think, we take all of those out of the equation. So we don't get the encouragement that we need. We don't get the sharpening that we need. And so God is saying, wait a minute, I need you to have this. In Isaiah 43, starting in verse 18, it says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am now doing a new thing. God says, wait a minute. I understand you may have messed up in the past, but God says he's doing a new thing, a new thing. And something I love that Steve always says to us. Steve says, you know what? None of us in here has lived today. You know, we've all lived, you know, we lived yesterday. We can talk to each other about yesterday. But today is different. This is a new day. And so God says, the Bible says, forget the former things. We all have the heart and the ability to change and be different. But we need each other to do that. You know, there's things in my life that I have to get help with because on my own, I can't change them. On my own, I want to, but a lot of times I fall short. But when I have relationships with many brothers, it helps me to get over those humps. So as we're even starting the family groups, it is so important to build these relationships. You know, I know a lot of the groups are getting together every other week. Don't look at that as just a date on the calendar. Look at that as an opportunity to build a stronger relationship with your brother, with your sister. Look at that as an opportunity to encourage your brother, your sister, to sharpen your brother, your sister, to lift up your brother, your sister, because God has set that date accordingly for you guys, Amen. For all of us. And so we can't take these things lightly. You know, last week we talked about the five elements that we really want to incorporate in our in the church, really. Does anybody remember those five? Care is one. Help. Safety. There's two more. Authenticity. And growth. Exactly. Guys, these are things that we need to be impressing on our heart. Because here's the deal. In our relationships, if these five aren't, if we aren't growing in our relationship, if we don't feel safe in our relationships, if we aren't showing care, and this goes both ways. This is not a one-way street. This goes both ways. This is what God is looking for us to implement as we grow. First, individually, and then as a group. But God is looking for us to grow in these relationships. God doesn't want us to let fear hinder this. And a lot of times we can think, oh, fear doesn't stop me from hanging out with Kyle. I just don't hang out with Kyle because me and Kyle don't have anything in common. Well, think about what we just said. God put Kyle in my life for a reason. And I'm going to tell God, nah, God, Kyle can't help me in no way, shape, form, or fashion. I can't help Kyle in no way, shape, form, or fashion. If nothing else, we could encourage each other. But if I go into this relationship thinking, Kyle know that, man, me and my wife had a rough year, our first year, and he's going to keep bringing that up every time we get together, our relationship probably will not take on these five characteristics that we just talked about. And a lot of time, brothers, we enter relationships that way because we look at them as forged and we don't look at them the way God looks at them. God says he determined the time and places, you know, that we would all live. And so if God put us all here in Atlanta, put us all here in Gwinnett, put us all here at Meadow Creek High School, put us all here in this band room, I think God's plan is probably a little better than ours, because my plan would probably be somewhere sitting around drinking lemonade, taking it easy because it's hot outside, right? But God has a bigger plan for us. And he is just waiting for all of us to give our hearts and say, amen, God, I submit to your plan. The other area that we as men allow fear to cripple us in is in love for ourselves. You know, sometimes we can feel like I'll never be the man that God created me to be. I'll never be used by God the way I thought I should be, or even the way I wanted to be. I see everybody else doing great things in the kingdom, but what about me? And that fear keeps us from doing a lot of great things that God has already predetermined for you to do. Turn over to Matthew 9 with me. We're going to look in Matthew 9, verse 29. And this is Jesus talking here, talking to this blind and mute guy. And Jesus says in verse 29, you can read starting in 27, but for time's sake, I really want to focus on what Jesus says here. In verse 29, it says, then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored. Very small verse, but very powerful verse. Jesus says, according to your faith, will it be done to you? And what fear does is fear steals that faith that we had. Because Jesus said, hey, it's according to you, will it be done? Hey, I'm right here waiting to give it to you, but it's according to you. It's according to your faith. Do you believe that I can still use you? Do you believe that I still want to use you? And a lot of times, because that fear has gotten in there, it's caused us to think, no, God, not going to use me. It's been 5 years and maybe I haven't even done a welcome at church. It's been 5 years and no one's asked me to do a communion. Sometimes we can feel like that. I'll be honest. I felt like that. I remember feeling like, wow, man, will God ever use me in his kingdom again? I remember feeling like, man, God, are my glory days behind me? And it was so important. You know, I always go back to Jeremiah 29:11. You know, God says, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And what God is saying is, hey, listen, although you may think, hey, man, it can't get any worse than what it is now. My dreams are gone. I'm 40 years old. Hey, who's going to use me now? And we let fear set in. And so what happens is we just go and we sit on the sidelines and we watch everybody else come by and do great things. And we remember, I remember I used to do that. We stop dreaming. And there's not a man in here that God cannot and will not use. Every last one of us. Guys, we have to start dreaming again. I don't care if you're 18 or you're 98. God can use you. Read Caleb. God can use you. Caleb said, man, I am just as vigorous today as I was the day you promised me that land. We have to fan that fire into flame. Amen. And we have to get rid of this fear. Amen. Amen. I want to share one last thing as we get ready to wrap up. In Romans, turn over to Romans 8 with me. And we're going to start in verse 37. This scripture right here, when my kids aren't what I want them to be, when my relationship with my wife isn't where it needs to be, when I am not where I want to be spiritually, I go back to this verse right here. When I was at my lowest spiritually, when I thought God didn't want anything to do with me, when I thought people didn't want anything to do with me, this is where I went. And brothers, I want to encourage all of us as we start dreaming, as we start inspiring to do great things for God, and wherever it is, whether it's at work, at home, in the church, as we remember, man, God wants to use us. In Romans 8, starting in verse 37, it says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know about you, but that encourages my soul so much.
Amen.
Because God lets me know, you know what? With God, I am more than a conqueror. I can conquer that fear of what people think about me. I can conquer that fear of God not wanting to use me. I can conquer whatever fear Satan throws at me. So let me just make this very simple. When we fear that God doesn't want to use us or hear our prayers, we stop praying and it cripples us. When we fear what people think about us or saying about us because of our past failures or our hurts, we stop believing. When we fear we can't or haven't reached goals set by us or God, we stop dreaming and it cripples us in our relationship with God. And so tonight, brothers, I want us all to know we don't have to stop praying. We don't have to stop not believing. We don't have to stop not dreaming. God has put a spirit in us that's a spirit of power. So each and every one of us can walk out of here tonight knowing that we are more than conquerors. Amen. Each and every one of us can walk out of here and look at our brothers and look at our sisters with a newfound belief in them. Not knowing that nothing is being held over my head anymore. Mm-hmm. That we are a new creation in God. Amen. Each and every one of us can start back dreaming. There's some of us in here who can sing and play instruments. And you may have dreamed of one day being a rock star. Don't give up that dream. There's some of you in here who dreamed of preaching the gospel everywhere you go. Preaching the gospels on Sunday. Don't give up that dream. There's some of you in here who want to have the most exemplary marriage and the way you raise your children. Maybe that hasn't happened yet, but don't give up that dream. Because God has put it in your heart for a reason. So tonight, I really just want to encourage us all. You know, fear is no joke. Satan wants us to look at fear lightly. He wants us to think that, oh yeah, if we see fear, we're going to stay away from it. But then he slips it in the back door. Well, tonight I want us to be cognizant of, man, what does fear really do to us? I want us to know that, man, we can't allow Satan to keep having these victories in our lives with fear. Because it hinders our relationships with each other, hinders our relationships with our children, with our wives, and most importantly, it hinders our relationship with God. So as we close, I just want to say this to every last one of you guys. God loves you more than you will ever know. And how do we know that? One of the most quoted scriptures in the world, John 3:16. Take some time, read it, meditate on it. And let God tell you how much he loves you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.